This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 36. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jimmy Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is. It's a show focused on everything to do with fantasy books. And I mean everything, as this episode will tell you. We don't just talk to fantasy authors here on the show. We're actually going to be talking to some amazing fantasy audiobook narrators on the program today. We talk about those things as well as others, and also jump into a little bit about what I'm working on, which as this episode comes out, I am pretty much on a plane getting ready to go to Kansas City with my wife to attend the Independent Audiobook Awards there. I was super honored to find out my audiobook, Accidental Thief, narrated by Roberto Scarlato, that I co-wrote with my son CJ Davis, was nominated in the Game Lit category for the audiobook production. I actually am just shocked, and I'm in some pretty august company over there. So win, lose, or draw, I'm looking forward to just getting over there and meeting up with some of my fellow authors in this category, as well as some great narrators as well. I'm super excited that Roberto is going to be coming down with his wife, and I'm also going to be meeting Annalise Rennie there too, who's also on the show. So it's going to be just a great time. If you want to find out more about what's going on with that, including information on the link to how to subscribe and actually stream the awards live, if you so desire, you can find that over in my Facebook group, which is Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers. If you look that up on Facebook, it'll pop right into my group. Ask to join the group and we'll get it there for you. Or on if you search for Jamie Davis Books, you can join the page there. I'll put it there as well. And at my blog, jamiedavisbooks.com. Today on the show, as I said, in honor of the audiobook awards tonight, I am excited to bring you two of the best fantasy narrators I know of out there. Annalise Rennie is a former NPR, PBS, and FM radio host and announcer in a major media market. She has a background in opera and actually can talk and sing and present in English, Italian, German, French, and Latin. So if we need somebody to speak Latin in my next book, I know where I'm going. Roberto Scarlato is a Chicago native who's worked a variety of odd jobs before somebody told him that his voice was so unique he needed to get into voice narration after listening to some of his rich baritone tones. Since then, he's narrated books from a multitude of genres, including some pretty amazing fantasy books, mine among them. Both Annalise and Roberto are nominated for awards this year that will be happening the evening this episode is released. So let's take a look at what it takes to narrate a really good fantasy audiobook with Annalise and Roberto coming right up. Annalise and Roberto, it is such an honor to have both of you here on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on to talk with us about audiobooks.
And right back at you with a thank you. And Roberto, hello.
Hi, how you doing? And thank you again, Jamie.
Well, let's start off by introducing yourselves. I'll start with you, Annalise. I want to preface everything by just saying both of you are award-nominated this year in the Game Lit category for the Independent Audiobook Awards, and that's kind of exciting for everybody involved. Roberto, for one of the books he did for me, Accidental Thief, and Annalise, I believe it's a book you did for Dawn Chapman, correct?
Correct. That's correct. Achilles Reign.
So. I love that series of hers. So I actually haven't listened to the audiobooks, but I've read them, and I'm going to have to go and check this one out. So Annalise, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what got you into audiobook narration?
Oh, gosh. Well, that is a fun story, but I'll do the elevator speech. I have 16 years in opera experience and 7 years in radio. So that's where the vocal training comes from. I was a mezzo-soprano. I sang mostly pants roles, or what they call un travesti. So Basically, young boys or women who are pretending to be men, that kind of thing. That's very, very common in opera. So I don't have one of those super high-pitched voices. I have one of those lower voices, as I'm sure everybody can tell. I got into audiobook narration completely on a fluke. A friend of mine, because she knew I had radio background, I'm kind of a tech geek at I do video production when I'm wearing my other hat, which is another whole story. And she says to me one day, I need some help building a studio. Can you help me out? And I said, sure. Why are you building a studio? And she says, I'm going to narrate for Audible. And I thought, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. And she says, you should do it. Oh, okay. And I looked into it. I auditioned. I got 3 books right off the bat. That was 2 years ago. I'm on my 68th book, and it's been fun. It's been amazing. And it's actually stress relief compared to my other persona. So for me, it's not just a job. It's a ton of fun, and it's really what I do to relax. And it's due to a lot of the people that I've worked with. I've met incredible people doing this.
That's been my experience too, working through the process as an author, delving into audiobooks. And I've just enjoyed so much the various narrators I've worked with and the people that I've come in contact with in the business have just been fabulous to deal with. And it's kind of making all these friends that, you know, all online for the most part, but, you know, being able to hear their voices and kind of get to know them a little bit. So that's kind of cool.
Well, apparently all the Gamelit folks are going to descend upon Kansas City and have a blowout. So.
Yep, my wife is coming. I'll be there. I think Dawn Chapman's going to be there. We're going to have a blast. Actually, I've got another author friend who lives in Kansas City that we've been trying to hook up and meet, and she's getting tickets and coming to the event so we can hang out a little bit. So
fantastic. Wow. But I do want to tell listeners that for those of you who aren't able to attend in person, my company is actually live streaming the awards. So we're doing a multi-camera setup. It'll look just like the Oscars. It'll be fantastic.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Folks who can't come, you can definitely watch.
And that's going to be exciting. I was hoping I was going to mention that a little later, but thank you for bringing it up because that's exciting. We're going to make sure there's links out there for people to catch the stream, and hopefully we can promote that for you and get some exposure for this event. Because I think it's awesome that we recognize the indie author audiobook community as well, which is kind of cool. Roberto, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, you've heard this story before, Jamie, but for the listeners, just like you, I fell into this by happenstance or a fluke. What happened was I have done like a lot of grunt jobs, you know, they were always like jobs in construction or warehouses until finally I got a job in 2011 as a machine operator. And I did that until 2014. And the whole time I was doing that, I was listening to like hundreds and hundreds of audiobooks because the company allowed you to do that while you're working. And one day it just snapped inside my head. I said, what am I doing? I'm miserable. These people are having more fun at their job than I am. So I have to do some research and see if I can jump on this bandwagon. And my wife and her parents and my parents and everybody who knew me said, you got to do something with that voice, you know? And so basically I went on ACX and I just said, you know what? If something comes of this, fine. But if nothing comes of it. It was a wild ride just auditioning. And I auditioned, and then I got a problem on my hands because then I had 10 books lined up, and I was like, oh, God, I actually have to schedule time for these now. And it just took off from there. You know, one person told another person, hey, I worked with this guy. And then it just became a thing of like, okay, everybody get in line, you know? So.
And you have and that voice. Seriously, it's, you know, you're going to fit more genres than I will. And that's, you know, I'm not knocking myself when I say that. It's just the reality of the situation is that, you know, you go out there and most of the authors want that sort of standard light baritone male voice. So
right.
There you go.
Oh, well, thank you.
It was a good choice.
Yeah. Well, and actually, you know, you're absolutely right, Annalise, because he's done two separate series for me. One's an urban fantasy, and the other was my Lit RPG series, Game Lit series, the Accidental Thief, Warrior, and Mage books. And it's been, you know, they're both very different in how they approach. I mean, one's more an epic fantasy feel. The other one's very modern in its look and feel and how it sounds. And, you know, and it kind of brings me around to like a craft question for you. And I'll go with Roberto on this because we're just talking about you is, you know, how do you approach a project when it's a different kind of fantasy book? You know, whether it's urban fantasy or epic fantasy, is there a mindset shift that needs to happen or what?
Well, at least for me, in my experience, the tone is like completely different. Like, when I was doing the two series for you, the Accidental series and the, urban fantasy series, the Accidental series is sort of takes place in the medieval world. You know, so I have to get into the mindset of, you know, how people talked back then, how they lived their lives, you know, stuff of that nature. But the urban fantasy, it's grounded in the present day. So I had to still make things sound either weird or strange or magical with my voice, while at the same time being very grounded and saying, okay, everybody, this is happening in like real life.
So you less know, world building in the second series. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But I mean, cause I really had to dig for Accidental Thief to get like all the characters. Cause like half of them have like a British accent, but a lot of them have like rough accents. And I had to like distinguish each and every character, major or minor, to get like, to show the history of their life through their voice.
I just had the same thing with the book I just did for Mark Carlson, The Curse of Hurling Ridge. It's 22 hours long.
Whoa.
And yeah, and it's the first book in a series. So.
Wow.
And right out of the gate, it was a ton of British characters, and you've got your upper class and your working class and your Scots, because of course there's dwarves. So of course you have Scots, and they all have to sound different. So, you know, you've got four Scots in a room and they all have to sound different. And, you know, at that point I need a whole separate file of just sound bites, and the amount of time, I don't know if this is part of your process, but the amount of time that I spend on YouTube and Netflix and everywhere else, just listening to actors.
Oh yeah.
I wore out every Billy Connolly file I could find.
know? Yeah. It does just get tricky after a while.
Yep. Especially to make everybody different when you're doing these big, huge epics, because you know, the risk is that they all start to blend together and you don't want that. And of course, we all have our stock voices. You know, if you're going to do something posh, you sound a certain way. And if you're going to do working class, you sound a different way.
Right.
But you're right about having to really dig into the characters and color them. And that's where the work comes in. I think a lot of people think we just stand and talk into a microphone and that it's easy.
Oh, no.
And people are surprised when they find out that I read the book before I do it. And I say, I read it about four times,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then of course do my prep, you know, and I think a lot of people don't, they think it just pours out.
Oh no, it takes a lot more prep, going into a book than if you were to say like maybe record a short film that the book is based on, because it's like, although it like takes a lot, like a movie or a short film, that's a crew, like let's say an average of like 200, maybe 300 people working on it. But when you're a narrator, you're doing all of those roles. You know, you're making sure that your voices show up on time. You're going into their histories. You know, you hope that there's no diva moments. You know? And, you know, it's
God
it
help
is
you
kind
if you had
of
a scotch the night before and then you go into the studio and it's like, oh, that voice ain't happening. Not today.
Right. Like you're basically experimenting. And usually what trips me up, like I'm glad you brought up that situation where you had four Scots in the room. What usually trips up people is like, how do I make them all different? But what I do is I'll take their mood or their style and I attach it to their voice. So if it's a Scots, but he sounds squirrely or weaselly, I'll do that emotion in his voice. Or if he sounds like very deadpan, or if he sounds mysterious, you know, you could put each mood on one of the characters and have them sound different that way, even though they all have the same accent.
Listeners, I'm nodding along, just so you know.
That's okay.
It's true.
and this is the joy that I found when I did my first book and got the first like clip back of sample of my work, that 5-minute sample of something that I had written. And it was eye opening. Like I always kind of heard the characters and saw the characters in my head. I'm very visual. So I tend to see the movie of the book as I'm writing it. But I realized then that I didn't actually hear their voices. I just kind of saw the action and wrote the words down, and the words, the text was their voice. Hearing the performance of the characters come to life was a whole different journey for me as an author, because it was like, I countless times I'd find myself sitting there going, I wrote that.
Now, not all authors are like that. I'll tell you, I'm doing a Regency romance, which, of course, you know, has its own specific tropes and traditions and standards. And I'm working with an author who, and it's a duet narration, so she had some specific instruction for the male narrator and said, well, I want him to sound just like David Tennant in Doctor Who. Okay. All right. You know, and so that puts an even, you know, bigger layer of work on that particular narrator if the author wants a sound alike. Right. You know, because then you usually end up having to get a coaching. You have to go pay a coach to work with you on it, unless you luckily have a mimic gift. I am not one of those people. So my coaches, you know, They get a lot of money out of me during a year.
Oh, wow. And it's interesting you say that, because I kind of approach this from an author standpoint, remembering when I used to be an actor and did a lot of stuff, stage work and stuff back when I was much younger in college and just out of college. And I remembered, you know, enjoying coming up with the role and generating the characters and kind of, you know, trying to find them within myself as part of my process. And so when I went to seek out a narrator, I really saw it as a performance, a dramatic performance. And I didn't want to restrain the creativity of the narrator. So my feeling about it was, I wanted the narrator, I could give generalities and say, this person is going to have a British accent. This person is from, you know, this person's from New York City. This person's from Alabama. You got to come in from different directions there. But I didn't want to define them too much other than to just give them, because you can read, if you're going to read the book, let you formulate the idea yourself of what you think that character sounds like. And that was why I think I had such a pleasant experience of hearing this performance of the different characters as envisioned from somebody who interpreted my words into this character.
Jamie, I think you need to go teach workshops to authors. Just laying that out there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I've actually, since I've been doing so many audiobooks, I've got four in production right now, which is kind of crazy. But I'm trying to get my entire back catalog into audio as fast as possible. And I've learned a lot about doing the process of getting an audiobook together and working with my narrators and trying to be accommodating at the same time, being that producer that needs to say, no, this needs to be right. It's not good cop, bad cop, but it is a certain amount of, I am the boss at the end of the day and it needs to be the way I need it to be.
Right.
So, you know, but, you know, funny you say that. I've actually considered doing something, either writing a how-to or doing a series of articles and maybe putting them up on somebody's blog about the process I've learned. But I think, you know, that's a compliment, I would say, Annalise. Thank you for saying
that. Oh, it is.
Because I really, I want the narrators to bring their feeling to my books as much as I pour into it myself when I write the words.
Oh, yeah. It is a collaborative effort between the author and the narrator because, you know, both of you want to make the audiobook as quality as it could be, but you also want to make it fun and entertaining. And, you know, you pick up cues from the author, but also the narrator will have a couple of notes. And, you know, I mean, it's up to the author to say yay or nay. But at the end of the day, you know, a lot of strange, cool things can happen in experimenting or saying, hey, did you just do something weird with your voice? Keep doing that. You know?
Yep. Now, Jamie, have you ever done a live Discord with Roberto where you drag your fans in and you guys play around with audio a little bit in front of the fan base?
You know, I haven't. And somebody else asked me to jump in on Discord, and I was not familiar with this platform at all in the slightest.
It's a ton of fun. And I've done it, and some of the narrators I work with have done it. And, you know, you're not giving away your book, because really what it is they're kind of seeing the narrator in process. And you do it, you know, I mean, with warts and all, you know, all the throat clearings and the stops and the starts and the having to double check a pronunciation and all of that. And 9 times out of 10, what happens is the listeners will jump into the chat because they type chat while they listen to you. And usually, you know, they're all over the author with, well, you know, okay, where's it going to go from here? And why did you make this choice? And what were you thinking when you went there with that character? And I mean, it's really fun. I strongly suggest it if you haven't.
I want to do that. James,
all right.
You're working on one of my books
now, Roberto. So maybe we can figure out how to do that together.
Let's do this because I have a Discord server for narrators. So we'll just do it. We'll just schedule you guys in there. And
oh, awesome. All right. Yeah. Well, that's done. I think that would be fun. I know one thing I have done, and I've done this with every book audiobook I've put together so far, is I've always made a point to pull together a chat between myself and the narrator at the end of the book, and kind of talk about that particular work, the characters, questions the narrator might have had for me along through the process, and questions I had for the narrator. And maybe like 10 minutes long, but it's an opportunity for, I think, for the listeners to get to know me, the author, because they've only been listening to the narrator, but also to kind of hear the narrator outside of the process and, you know, get a little peek, a glimpse behind the curtain, as it were. And that's been a lot of fun. I know I've done a bunch of those with you, Roberto, and with my other folks that I've worked with. And I've gotten a huge positive response back from listeners. I get emails probably once or twice a week from someone who's listened to the audiobook and says, oh, I heard you guys talking at the end and you mentioned this. Where's that available? Or when's the next book come out? And so it's just another way of connecting with the reader/listener in a way that personalizes it. And it sounds like this Discord channel is another way to do that too.
Yep. And it works great to sort of, you know, pump people up for the upcoming book because you're doing it while you're in process.
Oh yeah. Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, we're on for that. So
all right.
we'll set that aside for later. Annalise, you know, you've done a lot of books, and one of the things you did, the book you're nominated for with Dawn is you're actually coming in to do a book in the middle of a series because you're playing a different character than the main character is in some of the other books.
Let's just lay out the reality here. Not only am I coming in the middle, I'm coming in after an extremely well-known popular narrator in the genre has done the first three books to incredible acclaim, and it was my first game lit. So no pressure there.
No whatsoever. It's okay.
And Dawn, bless her heart, structured that particular book almost as a standalone. If it hadn't been written that way, I might not have done it. But it's one of those where, you know, if you took that book out of the series, it actually wouldn't break up the narrative because it was from the player POV, and the rest of the book, you know, the rest of the books are all inside the game, and they're all clever. NPC POV. Yep. Yep. So.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because did you have to, there was pronunciations, especially in a fantasy world, there's always weird names and things you run into.
I had to go back and I had to listen to all of Andrea's narrative, which I did multiple times. And then in order to get myself into the character mindset, because, well, I'm a bit older and I've been around since, oh gosh, Pong came out.
You and me both.
So
I guess I'm too young for Pong.
The premise of the book was someone who had never played a video game. And so, of course, personally, I couldn't put myself in, to get myself into that mindset, what I ended up having to do was I picked a game I had never played, and I picked Paths of Exile, and I played PvP, which I have also never done. And it was a nightmare.
I'll bet it was.
You know,
PvP is brutal.
It is. It's absolutely brutal, but it was the perfect thing to do to get into that character mindset, because she literally, you know, went around and couldn't understand how things worked and how to do this and how to do that. And that's how I was with PvP. I was completely confused. And, you know, and it had been ages since I'd even played in a group, you know, so it was fun. But now I've got four Paths of Exile characters that are all like between level 70 and level 90. And they're just kind of sitting out there doing nothing. So,
well, you know, you had your process, and it sounded like it worked well for you. I mean, the book was nominated, and I'm sure it's excellent. It's on my to listen list. I just interviewed Dawn for this show a couple weeks ago. That before this episode comes out, it should be right before this one. So, she talked about that very process of writing that book in the middle of the series to kind of define the player character. And she needed a separate narrator. She needed another voice to represent the different character in the middle there. And that was a challenge, but, she speaks well of you in that episode. So I'll just say that much. And,
right back at her, you know, and, she was my introduction to the whole GameLit community. And, you know, she's a wonderful author and a wonderful person. And for any other narrators or actors or performing arts people who are listening, you should go back and listen to that interview just to listen to Dawn's accent. And I am not joking.
It's great, isn't it?
It is. It's just, it's
what accent?
Perfect.
She's from the UK, but I don't know what specific part, but it's a distinctive accent.
Yeah, it is. It's very distinctive. And I want to say Lancashire, but I could be so very wrong. And if I am, Dawn, please forgive me. I should have gone through my notes, and I should have dug them up before we did this, because I did write down where you were from, and now I don't have them in front of me. So I'm sorry. Bad narrator. Bam.
It's all good. It's all good. So we're getting kind of down towards close to the end here, but I do have a few more things I want to kind of touch on. I've seen, it feels like there's a bit of a gold rush going on right now in the audiobook world.
It is
taking longer and longer for productions to get completed, because I think the narrators are getting a little backed up with projects and stacked up on top of each other, which is a good thing for everyone concerned.
It's not us. It's the distributors.
No, no.
It's the distributors.
Nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. It is such a nightmare to get the stuff, you know, get the distributors to push the stuff out. And I'm not going to name names, but I think we all know who's in the room that we need to blame. So,
no, it's a challenge. And there's a lot of books that are you know, I just know that, you know, working with the narrators and seeing people, you know, from an author standpoint, it's been a joy to see things, but I've seen narrators' rates go up, you know, and that's a good thing for you all and for us, because I think it means that the genre, and the field is growing, and that's a positive thing. But it seemed to me like that things are progressing, and I don't think there's enough narrators to go around. If all the authors out there that have talked to me about wanting to do audiobooks decide to jump in, it's going to be a little crazy. Have you guys seen some of that?
A little bit here and there. I mean, I will say that, you know, when I first started on ACX, I noticed, Annalise, did you get started on ACX? Where did you get started?
I did. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yep. So you know what I'm talking about. When I got on there, in 2014, I think they had a pool of, I want to say like maybe 20,000 new or established narrators on that site. That has jumped by like 30,000. And
yeah, it's insane. You know, and just in the last year, it's jumped up by, I want to say, 15,000 in the last year.
Yes.
It's crazy. And it sort of gets back to a discussion that happens all the time in the narrator groups and just in general voiceover groups online, is that a lot of people think that just because you have a good speaking voice, that it automatically makes you a narrator, which isn't really the truth. You have to be a storyteller first. It's more about telling the story and about acting and interpreting the text than it is about having that voice. You know, it just, it's right. So there's that part of it. And then there's the engineering part of it. And most people start out with a home studio. A lot of us continue to use a home studio, but we also, you know, job out our audio engineering. And so you'll see a lot of recent players jump into the narration pool, not understanding the technical requirements and just the sheer amount of work. I mean, for me, you know, it's anywhere, you know, from 2 to 6 hours of work to produce 1 hour of finished audio.
Yeah.
And it depends on the text. It depends on accents. It depends on the research. You know, it depends on characterization notes that I've gotten. You know, I mean, a modern romance, I can knock, you know, a 6 hour modern romance out in 3 days, you know, but, you know, The Curse of Hurlig Ridge, 22 hours with tons of accents, that took me 3.5 months to do.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, I mean, you brought up a good point. I mean, the voice, I don't want to totally discount the voice.
I'm not.
No, not at all. I know you're not. The voice will get you part of the way there, but it's not over the halfway mark. You see what I'm saying? You need to have a dedication to your craft. You always have to be willing to learn different things with each book. You have to come up with a system. You have to come up with production notes, and you have to come up with changes, because there's always going to be changes in a production, you know, and you have to prepare for that. You can't just say, well, one and done. I did 8 hours. Now my work is basically finished. No, it never happens like that.
No.
Well, you got to have like the work ethic.
It's interesting because I likened it once I realized what was going on. I likened it a lot to trying to perform and read Shakespeare, because there's little to no stage direction, even though it is a script for a play. Compared to modern scripts, there's really no stage direction. And so you have to understand what's going on between the characters. You have to understand what's going on in the setting as to the time frame it's taking place in. And all of that feeds into your inflection, the way you phrase the different words into groups so that they make sense according to what's happening. And you can say, you know, the same sentence 10 different ways. Only one of them is funny.
Jamie, I have a perfect example for this. And it's a gamelet example, and it just came up for me. Okay. Everybody who games, you know, is very familiar with PWN. Is it pawn? Is it pwn? Is it own? Everybody pronounces it differently.
Yeah. I thought it as pwn.
Right. And I had a proofer who was kind of going in circles. and, you know, and ended up crowdsourcing it just to get the general consensus. And there were as many different opinions as there were people in the room.
Right. Well, because you never know, like, something that's created online or in the gaming community, you have to go back to the source. And sometimes it's very hard to trace back the source of, okay, who created this word? What was this word Genesis?
Yeah, somebody who was the guy on Usenet in 1980, whatever. You know?
Right. Something obscure like that.
Yeah, well, and exactly. it's like GIF or JIF, right? I mean, the accepted pronunciation is GIF now. But if you talk to the person who created it, he says JIF.
Yeah, I've had this discussion with my wife. You must have been inside my home because I remember
this discussion with my wife and my 25-year-old son. Don't get me started.
Because I said JIF, and my wife says no, it's pronounced GIF. But then 2 months later, I'll say GIF, and she says, it's pronounced JIF. And I said, wait a minute here. The rules are changing.
She's always right, Roberto. That's the rules.
You know what? I have to admit it. Yes. It's always yes.
So I think we could probably talk a lot about a lot of other things, and maybe we need to do this again down the road and talk some more about audiobook production and doing the different voices and characterizations. But I want to give you both a chance to kind of pitch an upcoming project or an existing project or both. So Annalise, why don't you go first? Tell us maybe something about, is there something you're working on you can kind of hint at?
Wait a minute. You mean I haven't mentioned the book that I just finished three times?
You did. And actually I have it here, and I'm going to put Curse of Hurling Ridge, in the show notes. There'll be a link to that audiobook so everybody can check it out, by M.A. Carlson. And, I certainly want to include that, but I didn't know if there's something that, you have on the horizon that you're kind of excited about.
Obviously book two of that series, which is called The Duchess of Hammers. So I'm going to get to whip out my Indian accent, and you know, we're talking Indian continent, not country, not Native Americans. So, so that'll be another fun one. Oh gosh, what else do I have in the hopper? Oh well, I'm finishing up the Regency romance, but I'm doing a whole series for that particular author. So, you know, lots and lots and lots of posh British romantic stuffs where they just get into lots of trouble. The author is Sandra Suku. She is one of those USA best-selling authors. She's been a ton of fun to work with. Yep. And it's been a great experience because I usually don't get a lot of romance. But what I'm really looking forward to is my first full-length zombie horror novel.
Awesome.
Nice. It's nice. And it's a post-apocalyptic where apparently a strain of the AIDS virus has mutated. And so this particular main character, not only is she immune to the mutation, but the mutation gave her superpowers of some sort. And she gets to go around and vanquish zombies. And it's a lot of fun. She's very badass and kick-ass. And,
you know, I love badass really female characters. I really do. So I'm looking forward to that one. Well, we'll have to have you back on. You can talk about that one the next time. Well, Annalise, thanks for coming on the show. Roberto, what about you? Anything coming up on the horizon you'd like to talk about? And it doesn't have to be a book you're doing for me. I know you're doing other projects.
I don't have anything. No, I'm kidding. With everything that Annalise just said, I was like, well, you know, like, I'm like, well, I, okay. Because that sounds fantastic. But no, I do have a couple of projects coming out. I have some of them that are actually quite challenging because they're all different breeds. I have one book that I'm working on right now. It's actually a nonfiction. It's a memoir. It's called Legion of the Lost by Jaime Salazar. And it has to do with his time in the French Foreign Legion as an American.
That sounds fascinating.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
I love doing nonfiction. So kudos to you because, it's fun. Most people think it's boring. It is so much fun.
Yes. Yeah. Especially when you got a really good source that is like, I went through this. So here's what happened and stuff
right.
like that.
Right.
Yeah. And so I got that, and I'm learning a lot more French. Like, my wife was the one who specifically went to France to learn French. And now all of a sudden I have to learn it myself, and I have to rely on her as a source. I'm also doing a book by Golden Angel. It's an erotica. And that's actually the second book that I got started on was an erotica. And so that seems to be like the genre that keeps on giving, because
they sell. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Guys, I am the queen of lesbian BDSM. It sells. Oh my gosh. Does it ever?
It's amazing. We didn't really talk about that, but that's the, you know, the secret behind the, you know, some narrators have multiple pen names or audio names, whatever you call them, because they have their hidden erotica name, and then they have the name they use for everything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I don't do pseudonyms. I want to take credit for it if I'm doing the work. I mean, they cast me as like the bad boy in erotica, and I was like, you really haven't seen me in high school, have you? I was not a bad boy.
That's all right. Respect, Roberto. Respect. Definitely.
Let's just put it this way. Your 15-year-old self would probably be really impressed.
Right, right. Not if I go back there in time and say, hey, look what I'm doing. He's like, I'm doing that? You know, no. Hey, I'm really good at it. And it's really cool. And it'll, where are you going? Come back.
Awesome. Well, Roberto, is there a place online you'd like to point people where they can find you, a website or a Twitter handle or something, or you'd like to point people to so they can follow what you're working on?
Yes. God, it's hard to memorize them all. I'm on Instagram as Roberto Scarlato. I'm also on Twitter as Roberto Scarlato. I'm on Facebook. You see a pattern here?
Yes.
As Roberto Scarlato. And I also have a website, robertoscarlatovoice.com. Man, I'm sick of my own name now.
It's all good. We'll make sure we have links to that so folks can follow you. Annalise, how about you?
All right. Well, I lost my mind last November and decided that I was going to start an audiobook publishing firm. And I have Dakota Kraut to thank for the kick in the pants to finally do it. Because I've been talking about it for a while. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he is, he is a great, great inspiration. And he was the one who said, you know, you really should do this. And I said, okay, I'll do it. But I had been thinking about it for a couple of years. So spectrumaudiobooks.com is the place. And there's Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all of those fun social media things. And I've actually got 3 auditions sitting out there for folks right now. So Roberto, you should audition for titles. Although I haven't put any stuff up yet. So, So I will, I will get some more books for men up, but it's all YA women right now that I've got, up there that we're going to publish, but, that's it. One stop location.
Awesome. Well, thank you both for coming on. We will definitely have you both back. I think this has been a great discussion and something that people would like to hear a little bit more of. But thank you for being here. And Annalise, Roberto, I hope to have you back soon.
Thank you. It was a blast.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Bye now.
That will wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy-focused community, both here on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Wherever you find us, make sure you leave a comment on where this episode is posted. Let me know what you think of it. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what authors you'd like to have me invite to come on the show. Also, over on the website, don't forget you could subscribe to the show either by email or using your favorite mobile app or mobile device. There's links right there below the audio player at the top of each episode page to help you do that. We have some pretty awesome authors already scheduled in the next few months, including James Wolanik on the next podcast. I'm really excited to have him on the show, and we'll have that coming up next. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter there. Whatever you do, subscribe, come back, and join the next podcast. In the meantime, I'll remind you, as I always do, make sure you keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.